Shabbat Shalom. We'll be still in Genesis 17. So if you have your Bibles, we'll go there. Hopefully we can complete this Torah portion today. We've been looking at this 17th chapter. The next Torah portion we have is going to goes into the 18th chapter. And I handed that out already, I believe, to everyone. If you was here last night, you should have had that. If not, you can see someone to get it. But we serve an incredible God, and He wants the best for us. There's some important things that we have to understand that He wants us to grab hold to in His Word. And it's not just to get it in our head. This won't help you. If you do nothing with in your head, if you do nothing with it, it never helps you. You can have a lot in your head, but it never benefits you. But when your heart is moved, that's where you get the benefit. Because it is a hard thing. If you don't have a heart for the things of God, it's going to be very difficult for you to maintain any type of relationship with Him. You have to have a heart for Him. You have to have a heart for whoever you're going to have a relationship with. Your heart has to be in, and if not, it can be very difficult to maintain. You can go for a while, but if the heart's not connected, there's going to be some difficulty that you're going to rise up, not to mention the regular difficulty. So if you compile the difficulties up, it's more than anybody can sustain, and the relationship just plunders. There's no benefit to it. So we're going to look at the 17th chapter again and see what's, there's some important principles that we were reading about concerning this circumcision. And I'm not sure that we really have gripped what has happened when it comes to circumcision and what Christ has actually done for us. And let me tell you, that's foundational to relationship. It's foundational to everything else He said after that. Because if you don't realize what He's done for you, it's going to be hard for you to receive everything else, no matter who's giving it, who's delivering the message. It'll be difficult for you to understand that. So we talked about three things happens when the word is preached. What's the three things that happen when the word's preached? You have the word goes out. How this thing operates? Just mash it down? That's fire. That's a pretty weak fire. But although if you come put your finger on it, you'll find out it's real. Right? Or it goes out as a hammer. That's got to hurt. Or it goes out as a sword. If the word is preached, any one of these three has to happen. It's not a question, it has to happen. Because His word is described as a fire, as a hammer, and as a sword. It's described that way. So if you preach the word of God, that's what happens. Now the difference between preaching and teaching is you can teach. You still in school? Come up here. You in school still?
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately? Well, you're about to be in real school. Come right here with Isaac. Y'all know each other?
Yes, sir.
All right, so y'all used to each other a little bit. Y'all sit right there. Okay, I want y'all to read these stacks of paper, and I'm going to read them all. And I'm going to give you a test on it. This is teaching. I'm informing them about stuff. Now, I just randomly pulled some stuff that I used to study with over the years out of my office, so it's just random. It's not in order. It's random. But I'm still informing them. There's truths that are listed in these documents. Amen. That's teaching. Everybody say teaching. Teaching. I inform them. I'm not preaching to them. I'm informing them about something. So teaching informs. Preaching moves you. It moves you. Why? Because it affects the heart. So if I can preach to these two fellas today, I'm going to move them to that section over there. Or they can be content with just reading these documents, taking the test after it's over with, which is probably not really high on their list. I can tell, because he's unfortunately still in school, and this one's just trying to get through school. So that's what teaching does when you're in church. That's what happens. You get a information overload. But when you preach the gospel, it moves you from this place back to over there. And what moves you, either the fire's going to move you, the sword's going to move you, or the hammer's going to move you. Now, some people, it's like sitting with their feet concreted to the floor. It don't matter what song the singers sing, they're not moving. They just want to be taught something. Well, I can tell you, I can teach you a lot of things. There's no doubt about that. But I'm trying to move you. I'm trying to get you from this spot to over there. And the only way to do that, I have to preach the word. And the word is not favorable sometimes. It really gets under your skin sometimes. It'll bring conviction. Sometimes it downright hurts. But that's what happens when you get hit with the hammer. And the hammer is only used in the word when a stone has to be crushed. So I can spend all my time. So I want you to think about this. If you ever open the Bible and you got to speak to anybody, I want you to think about these terms. Either you're informing them, because that's what teaching does. It's just informing. Or you're preaching to them, it moves you. Preaching moves you. Information goes here. When you move somebody, it hits here. You bypass this section, and you hit straight to the heart. That's what is so incredible about the things of God. It goes straight to the heart of the matter. It don't beat around the bush. It just gets to the heart of the matter, and we have to deal with it because conviction comes over us. And if we stay in our same, but that way you don't have to do it. You can fight it all your life, and you can still, so I can come back a month later, and they'll still be probably trying to get through these papers here. Because they don't know. I want them to write an essay after they're done on what documents they have. So that's what teaching does. It just gives you a lot of data, but it never moves you. Preaching moves you over there. So when you say that teaching and preaching can be used interchangeably, that's not what the text says. We can't say that it can be used interchangeably. And so this should be important to our life of how valuable it is. Now, I was just joking, but that's real information. I'm just using it as an example. This is real information. And if I had to tell them to put it in order, because there's nothing in order here, they would have a difficult time just putting it in order. What comes next? That's what teaching does. You're trying to get people to understand the order of God's word, and you're giving them information. You're informing them. And so you're going to have both teaching and preaching in any given service because it's informative. But by the end of the service, we have to get down to where the heart's moved. And we have a responsibility to prepare our lives when we get to the service. What do you come ready for? Did you come for more information or did you come for your heart to be moved? What did you prepare yourself for this week? Do you want your heart moved? We'll be able to tell, because if you're still doing the same thing you've been doing all your life, going to church, and you've done nothing else, you haven't been moved in a long time. Your feet has been concreted to the floor. Now, you got information, and you can have dialogue with people, and it seems like, wow, this is impressive. But what are you able to do for Yehovah when it comes to him calling you and to step out and do something powerful that's going to cause somebody else's heart to be moved? Where have you engaged in that? That's going to be important to our life. It's going to be valuable to us. So it seems like we're pretty stuck on this 17th chapter of this last chapter reading for this Torah portion. But remember, we started out in Lake Arkot. You have to move. You have to go. You have to step out. And so we're going to end with that. We're going to end with that because this whole Torah portion is built around that definition. You have to do something. You have to move. So in order for that to happen, We take all the teaching, but somehow we got to preach the word. And what did he tell? What did Paul tell Timothy? Preach the word, or proclaim the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Why? Because it's important that the word is preached, because it moves the heart. And we can tell when it happens. So isn't it sensible to think if I preach today, their hearts will be moved? Isn't it sensible that if I preach today, they're going to feel like, and they may already be feeling like the hammer came and the stone was crushed? Wouldn't it be sensible if I preached that there should be some sense of everybody here, like last night, that there was this sense that that was the hammer time? Or if I wouldn't it be sensible if I preached, somehow they would be ignited? What it means to be ignited? Well, you're there, you're available, but you're not ignited to do. You're not ignited to move. You're not ignited to do what Avram had to do, and that was Lake Laka. He had to move. He wasn't just getting informed by God. He was being preached to by God. So he had to move from where he was to what God's plan and purpose is for. Now, let me ask. Do y'all believe that you're living, this is a serious question, do you believe that you're living at the fullest capacity of what God has purposed and planned for your life?
No, sir.
I need to get them there. And the only way I can get them there, I got to preach the word. Because I don't have a magical book that gets them there. I got to preach the word of God. The word of God is not magic. There's something I can inform them about, but then they got to hear the word, and it's got to hit their heart. When it does, it moves them. It moves them automatic. It's what you do. It's how you can go from being an ordinary fisherman to preaching the gospel the rest of your life. That's what happened. You got moved by something. And it's not just teaching that moved you. Somebody preached the gospel and it stuck in your heart and it won't go away. That's what happens. And so if you're here and you feel like answering like they just honestly answered, because if you're not honest with yourself, no matter what I say today, you're either going to go home and form with more information that you do nothing with, or you're going to be preached to, and the word of God is going to move you, and we're going to be able to tell when you get moved. Could you tell that Avram got moved from living in the place where Nimrod was? Did he move? He sure did. He crossed the Euphrates, became the first Hebrew, and now we have a group of Hebrew people that God is dealing with. But we see Avram had, he went different places. He went down south, and he went back north, and he went a little further south, and he went back north. Do you see that he had this back and forth kind of, but he was moving. Something was happening inside of him. So the preaching of the word of God is to move you, not just to inform you. Does that make sense to everybody? Because it's sensible to think if I'm preaching today, somehow you're going to feel like whatever's been hardened in your life has been crushed by the word of God, and you want to do something about it. And maybe some of you already, just a little bit preaching I've been doing today, already you understand that I've just been sitting and I've been waiting, you've been waiting, you've been waiting, but you've done nothing to step out by faith and allow the presence of God to move in your heart so you can have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God that pierces you to get the job done. To be ignited, you're sitting there, you know, you can take gunpowder. And if you can call it gunpowder, you can call it explosive, you can say, man, that's powerful. All those are truths. You've been informed that this gunpowder is explosive, it's powerful. But nothing happens to the gunpowder until you put fire to it. And when you put fire to it, nobody's got to explain what happens next. It's obvious to everybody. There's been an igniting, an explosion that's happened. And what I'm convinced that we need to have happen is we got to have an explosion happen in our life that we don't look back. We don't miss yesteryears. We have entered into a new realm of the authority of the word of God, and we want God's word to become real to us. That's when the miracles start happening. That's when your prayers start getting answered. That's when you see your loved ones come to serve Yehovah with everything that's in them. That's when you're doing it. When you get something happening in your life, that's when you're going to see these things. When you move, you know, you're witnessing to your family and you're still where you've been 30 years ago. You ain't moved from there. Talking about, I can't do this and I can't do that. We got to get off what we can't do. We got to realize that he's greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. He's here to change our life. He's not here to just inform us. Now, we've been informed. We have a lot of information, but we got to get our hearts right. And our hearts won't be moved unless the preaching of the word happens. And conviction, you feel conviction. How many feel a little conviction already this morning? That must mean I'm preaching. There's a difference between preaching and teaching. I didn't come here just to inform you. I came here to let you know that God wants to move your heart. That's what happened to Avram. That's why we had a man who could believe God and it was counted to him for righteousness, even though it didn't become real to him. He didn't even have a son, but he believed God for 25 years. He trusted God and believed God till the son was born. But every time you see God encounter Avram, what does he tell him to do? Move. I didn't come here to inform you. I came here to move you. Well, you're staying stuck here. You got to move. And let me tell you, today we're going to talk about how he's still stuck on the flesh. Still stuck on the flesh. That's why I'm driving home circumcision, and that's why Shaul drove it home. People get stuck on the flesh. They get stuck on their last hurt, the last thing, the time they got hurt. Or you can stay there all your life, and all you're ever going to be in your life is be hurt. Or you can move from where you are to where God has plan and purpose for you. Because he has a plan and purpose for both of these fellas right here. Both of them. He has a plan and purpose for both of them. And this is not just some superficial plan. God has, he sat down, he's articulated, he's drafted a plan. It's perfect. And he stamped it from heaven. It's been stamped. But they can never live in it as long as they just taking this information as being informed. That's it. If all they're doing is reading these papers, it's not going to get them anywhere. They have to have the anointing of God by the preaching of the word that brings the hammer, the fire, or the sword, because that's the stuff that God uses, because we get complacent in our information. This is important to God. If it wouldn't be important to God, I wouldn't be bringing this message to you. It's important to God. And so I'm going to read some text. Y'all can stay there, because I'm trying to get you from there to over here in a little while. All right? Whenever you're ready. Whenever y'all ready, y'all just go for it. I can't bring you over there. I can only preach the word. But listen what happened. In the 17th chapter, he's talking about this uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. His life shall be cut off from the people. He has broken my covenant. So we know that circumcision under Abrahamic covenant was required in order to have Pesach. And Elohim said to Avram, verse 15, as for Sarai, your wife, do not call her name Sarai, for Sarah is her name. So what we see happening, we have a double name change. We have Avram going from Avram to Abraham, and we have Sarai going from Sarai to Sarah. Something's happened. Something's happened to him. Something has changed in their life. Names change. Things happen. Now watch this. As for Sarai, she's not to be called Sarai, but Sarah's her name. I shall bless her and also give you a son by her. I'm going to give you a son by her. Now we know in Hebrews it says Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Because let me tell you, God is dealing with Avram, that's Sarah's husband, but he has dealing with Sarai also, because she's an independent individual who makes her own choices, and she decides whether she's going to be informed or she's going to be have a heart moved. And there's some things that God's got to get rid of that's happening in Sarai's life. Now it's Sarah. Now he's dealing with Sarah and Abraham. So they're the same people, but he's changed their name. Now they have to live up to their name. And I shall bless her and also give you a son by her, and I shall bless her and she shall become a nation. Sovereigns of people are to be from her. Sovereigns of people are to be from her. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Now that word laugh there is the same word that is used when Sarah laughed. They're the same word. But Abraham fell on his face and laughed. His posture of laughter was different, and God took it into consideration. But Sarah didn't fall on her face and laugh. She hid and laughed. Are you hearing me? She hid and laughed. Some of you have fallen on your face and laughed because what God's purpose and plan for you is so much bigger than you, you chuckle at how incredible it is. How in the world could God use me? in a way he's telling me he wants to use me. But if you posture yourself right, he don't mind you chuckling if you humble yourself, because humbling is saying Abram's still receiving what God is saying, but he can't believe what his ears are hearing. But Sarah laughs, but she's hiding in her laughter, and then she denies her laughter, and so God has to keep dealing with her. What he does, he brings the hammer. So we're still working on Avram. We got to still deal with why he laughed. We're about to deal with it. He fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, what did he say in his heart? Is a child born to a man who's 100 years old? That's what he's laughing for. I'm 100 years old. My wife's old. She's past childbearing. That means she's past, she has menopause and everything has happened. It's done. She's not having a regular period. It's over with for her, and he knows it. He's been around women long enough. He knows what's going on. She knows her body. She knows what's going on. And now God shows up and says, hey, don't worry about a thing. I'm going to do this for you. Well, if that hits in your head, all you got is more information. And that's what seems Avram had. He just had information. He just kept getting information. Do this, do that, do this, do that. And now God's about to lay it down for him. And Abram fell on his face and laughed in his heart. Is a child born to a man 100 years old, or is Sarah, who is 90 years old, to bear a child? Makes no sense. Here we are all this time. You could have given me a son anytime you wanted. But God chose to wait it out because he was letting Abram get to the spot where he can go from where he was being informed to move. Because we're still dealing with Lake Laka. The whole thing is Lake Laka. Not just the one verse you read at the beginning. The whole thing, when you sit back and look at it. He's got to get Avram to move from the fleshly thinking to the spirit realm. And you have to understand that Avram's asked to do something that hadn't even been paid for yet. We don't have a Messiah to pay for this yet. Yet through Avram, he's going to bring the seed who would ultimately pay for it for all the world. And Abram said to Elohim, oh, let Ishmael live before you. This is his response to God. After he pleaded his case, he humbled him, he fell on his face, he laughed, he said how old he was, how old his wife was. He gave all the problems that you have in life, all the excuses and the reasons would never happen for us, because this is a big deal. It's a big deal. Abram and Sarah has no son. Yet God says, your seed is going to be the way I'm going to do this. And so when God says to Abram what he's going to do, he humbles himself, falls in his face, laughs, then he gives God every excuse in the world why he can't do it. I don't, like Moshe, I don't talk good. I'm not good in front of people. And you know, I've always had this going on in my life and blah, 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 blah. You think God's going to be moved because we share our excuses with him? Now, he don't mind you sharing them. You want to share them. If you want the beginning of the service to be why the preaching that you hear today is not going to pierce you, ignite you, or crush you, you go ahead and give all your things to God. But it's up to you how you receive the word of God. Receive is an act of your own will. You have to prepare yourself for this service. And I pray you have, because God is going to bring the word by the means of preaching, so it ignites us, it pierces us, or it crushes us, because he wants to move you, not just inform you. How many want to be moved today? And so Abraham said to Elohim, listen what he said, oh, let Ishmael live before you. And God, and Elohim said, no. What did he say? No. Just simple as that, no. No discussion, no, 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 no. And so when you make your excuses, I can tell you, if you want to know what Elohim is saying, he said, no. That's not what I have planned for you. Don't see yourself as you can't accomplish anything. You can accomplish anything. Both of you can accomplish anything you want. Don't say no. God is saying no. Don't accept second. Listen, if you're not first, you're last. And he wants to, the purpose and plan that God has for you is by his design. You want to move into that design. You don't want just looking at it. That's not going to help you. Just looking at it. Well, hopefully one day. If you talk like that, you got to say, I quit talking like that. I'm not talking about hoping one day. I'm talking about actually building my life that I'm going to move in and walk into the goodness of God that God has purpose and plan for both of you. Amen?
Amen.
This is important. Now I'm explaining to them what's next. Because circumcision is important to our life. Let me read Hebrews 5 to you. Hebrews 5, I won't read it all. I could go read it all, but it'll take too much time. But I'll read some of the verses. Hebrews 5:11. Concerning whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Information causes you to be dull of hearing. And if you're dull of hearing, you won't receive today as preaching. Therefore, it'll never pierce you. It'll never ignite you. It'll never crush you. Because you're dull of hearing. How you can tell somebody's dull of hearing? They're always distracted. They're distracted all the time. They got to always go to party. They got phone calls to make. They got texting. Whatever it is, they're distracted. You're distracted in the service. You're thinking about it being over. You're thinking about the groceries to eat later on. And so you're distracted. You become dull of hearing. Because all you've been doing is receiving information. You've been informed. But the preaching moves you. And I don't want to just be going through the motions here. Because I can inundate you with information. That's no problem. I can inform you. That's easy. That's easy peasy. But to preach to you, it's more difficult, because that's when the preacher has to lay his life down. The preacher has to renounce all the fleshly desires that try to distract him. And he's got to get his mind and his heart right with Yehovah. So when he gets up here, the inspiration of Set Apart Spirit goes through him and moves the people, so they leave from where they've been informed and they get to the spot where dreams could be born. They get to a spot that changes their life forever. That's what God wants to do. Yeah. How old are you?
22.
How old are you? 22. Both of you 22?
Yes, sir.
When I was 20, I was 20 years old, and I knew the purpose and plan God had for my life at 20. And I've never looked back from that since. I had a lot of stuff come in my life after that. But at 20 years old, so you're not too young, I knew the purpose and plan. I knew that one day I'd be preaching this message right here today to you guys. I didn't know you in reality, but in spirit I knew. And God said, you got to hold the line. You can't quit. You can't give up. I knew it at 20. The word of God, if it's given correctly, it only does three things. It either ignites, pierces, or crushes. And you try to explain that to people who don't like that style, they offended by it. They don't want to be crushed by the word. That's offensive. Tell me something nice. So we got to get our feathers out. And we got to start tickling the ears with the feathers. That don't help anybody. You can inform people all day long. But unless the gospel is preached, the word of God is preached, you can tell. And if you have preached it, it's sensible to think something's crushed, something's ignited, and something is pierced. That's sensible to think that happens. And this should be important to our life, should be valuable to our life. And so what we see here in Hebrews 5:11, concerning whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. So you can preach to people when they're dull of hearing. No matter what you preach to them, they're dull of hearing. For indeed, although by this time you ought to be teachers, that means you ought to know enough to inform others, you need someone to teach you again the first elements of the word of Elohim. And you have become such as need milk and not solid food. Let me see this. For everyone partaking of milk is inexperienced in the word. Inexperience in the word. The word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, whose senses have been trained by practice to discern both good and evil. Your senses have been trained by practice. You go through some stuff. And let me tell you, as long as you're just being informed and you're sitting here and you're just reading papers, you're just reading the Torah, that's all you're doing. You're just going through page after page. You're informed. You got information. But when you put what you've been learning into action, you have to move from this spot to over here, because that's when it's effective to your heart. I'm not here to preach to your mind. Because by now, if you ain't got your mind made up who you want to serve, there's nothing I can do to help you. I didn't here to get your mind changed. I come here to get your heart right with God. When your heart right's with God, the mind will follow. And you'll let this mind be in you, which was also in Yeshua Messiah. He didn't walk after the flesh. He walked after the spirit, and it's an automatic thing for you. It's not going to be something you struggle with all your life. And so, again, dealing with this circumcision is so important that we understand the value of what's happening here, because when we look at it together, we see some principles that are very important for our life that we can't afford to miss. And so he's telling him, he said, and Abraham said to Elohim, oh, let Ishmael live before. What was Abraham still hung up on? He was hung up on the flesh, something that he interjected and he was a part of bringing about. Remember, Elohim didn't go into Hagar. Abraham went into Hagar. Elohim didn't listen to Sarai, who gave her servant girl to Abram, but he listened to her, which was the wrong thing. Now, we'll see times where he told Abraham, listen to your wife. But after God checked out what she said, make sure it was in line with his purpose and plan, he said, listen to the voice of your wife. But there was times he listened to the voice of his wife and God didn't give the okay, and it caused problems. That's why we have to make sure that we're constantly washed by the word. When does this happen, the washing of the word? Every time it's read. You have to be prepared to strip down and let that water begin to wash you, so you're ready to move out in God. Now, that happened. The washing of the word is hard to happen when you still have a fleshly vision. Abraham had a vision of flesh. Oh, would Ishmael live before you? And God answered him with a stern no. That's not happening. It reminds me of when he told Moshe, no, you're not going in. That's enough of it. I don't want to hear it no more. It's not happening. Because if you allow flesh in, it changes the purpose and plan that God has purpose for what's happened. It changes it. So he says, he answers him, no, Sarah, your wife, is truly bearing a son to you. Truly bearing a son to you. I know you laughed, and you might think it's a joke now that I'm bringing about right now, but truly, she shall bear. He's emphasizing what I'm saying. In other words, he's saying, listen, I'm serious, Abraham. Sarah's going to bear this son. I'm serious. Now, is this the first time he heard this? It's not the first time he heard this. He'd been told this before. He was told this when he was 75 about this son, this seed. But he ain't seen no results. Well, that'll crush your ambition. That'll make you give up on some dreams, because it takes time. While it's in development, it takes time. While God's developing you, it takes time. And sometimes through development, we give up on the dream, or we give up on what God has for us, what he's purpose and plan for us, because of the difficulty that happens. Listen, that's why the word of God, you have to be attentive to the word of God. When you hear the word being preached, this is what your expectation ought to be. Lord, it's either going to be the hammer, it's either going to be the fire, or it's either going to be a sword that's going to pierce me, and I'm ready for either one. Because he's only going to bring what you need. He's never going to bring what you don't need. Never. Only what you need he brings. And whatever you need this morning, he's bringing it. I can assure you he's bringing it. And that whatever one it is, if you'll receive it as an act of your own will, it'll liberate you. And how do we know you received it? You move from there to over here. It's automatic. You move. You leave that spot of just being informed, and now you let it touch your heart. It changes you forever. And Abram, obviously, he's up against it. But listen what he's dealing with. He's dealing with flesh still. That's why circumcision is so important. It has to be a removal of the flesh. And we had that spoken to us in the text. So before we go on to that, we're going to look at Ephesians 5 and explain what this means when it's dealing with husbands, love your wives as Messiah also did love the assembly. Let's explain that during this message today. The fifth chapter of Ephesians, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives as Messiah also did love the assembly and gave himself for it in order to set it apart and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The washing of water by the word. In order to present it to himself a splendid assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any of this sort, but that it might be set apart and blameless. Now he's given us a projected vision of what he sees or how he sees the assembly. Does he not? How he sees the assembly, without spot, blameless. That's how he sees the assembly. How is it we have so much spot and we have so much wrinkles? How is it we have so much chaos in the assembly? The key is we have to be washed by the washing of the word. That has to be something that we prepare ourselves for. We're getting ready. Now, if we're going to have immersion this morning, we were going to have immersion, so you would prepare for immersion. You'd put on a proper attire. You'd bring a towel. And then we're going to put you in the tank. We're going to have an immersion. You're going to be baptized. You're going to prepare for that. And when you get out, you're going to be wet all the way. How many have ever been immersed? It's effective. There's no kidding. You knew you did it. Nobody, you don't hear nobody going around saying, can't remember if I was ever baptized. If you can't remember being baptized, they must have hit you with a spray bottle. Because you can forget that. But if you get immersed, you can't forget that. And if you get washed by the washing of the word, you don't forget that. And what gets us right is the washing of water by the word. Now, the washing of water by the word, that is what he's speaking of when circumcision of the heart happens. Because Shaul talks about circumcision is not and uncircumcision is not. Why? Because Messiah, he's the only qualified one who can walk between the split animals down that blood trail to give us life. He's the only one who could do it. Now, Abraham wasn't allowed to walk through it. Nobody was allowed to walk through it except for Jehovah. Now he's got to do something. He's got to bring about someone who's qualified. And the only qualification, why wasn't Abram qualified? He was a what? What was Abram? Why he wasn't qualified? He was a what? A sinner. Let's not forget it. He lived in a household that their job was to build idols and carved images. That's what he was used of. But God took him out of that. But he was a sinner. He was unqualified. There was no price paid. He believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. But he was unqualified. Why? Because he still died because of his sin. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Everybody's going to die because of sin. Now, the only difference is when Yeshua come, death is not permanent. That's why we have a resurrection. And so we have to understand that's important to God. But this washing of the water by the word, there was only one qualified. That was Yeshua, because he was not a sinner. Therefore, he was qualified to walk between the animals that were split for that covenant to be passed on to all humanity. He did that. That's why that circumcision that he took on the eighth day after his birth satisfied God's righteous requirement of the Torah. Now you don't have to be you don't have to bring in your Ishmael, who was circumcised the same day Abram was circumcised. Don't say, God, would to God, my circumcision will take care of me. You know what he's going to answer? No. Same thing he told Abram. Just what he told Aubrey, he's telling you and I, what will happen? You can't make up your story if you're trying to go, you can live your story. People do it all the time. They live their ambition, their dream. You can do that. But if you want his story that he writes for you, you got to be willing to give all up for him. You got to say, I want to be washed by the washing of the word, which represents the circumcision of the heart, the immersion, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And now you can live that out to the fullest ability. And now your heart can be moved. Amen. And you got to let the word of God come and crush the stone of yesteryear's traditions and theories and ideas. You got to let the word of God come and pierce the very innards of your being, the stuff you've been hiding from everybody. Let him pierce that. And you got to let the word of God then ignite you from a stagnant, stale lifestyle. Let him light that gunpowder and you become explosive in the future that God has purposed and planned for your life. Let him light it. If the word is preached, we're going to have one of these three start to be effective in people's life. It's just that's a fact. Are you with me? No, Sarah, your wife, is truly bearing a son to you, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I shall establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Why is he doing that for Isaac? Because he told Abram he would do it. Did he change? Is any change? There's no change. He told him he would do that. And so we see these wonderful principles that's laid out for us. Very important that we understand what he's laid out for us. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. He understood Abram's deep love for Ishmael. Do you understand? Abram loved Ishmael. It was his boy. We can't take that away. It was his, but that boy was born after the flesh. And God used it as an allegory for us in Galatians. He explains it to us. This is allegory. You're not going to be born of the flesh, but you're going to be born of the free woman. So we have to keep that in mind, that we've been through all those verses, but they're important to us because we have to see, in order for us to be moved, we have to let the word of God be the word of God that comes in and pricks our hearts and brings about the change in our life. There has to be a change. If you have no ambition to be doing anything for God, yet you love God, but you don't want to be, and sometimes, let me tell you, you'll struggle, especially when you have an event. Like if we have Passover and you're used to already not doing anything, the Passover is not going to affect you. You're still going to not do anything. But if you've been moved by the word of God, you're going to do something. It may not be what everybody else is doing, but you're not trying to match tit for tat. You're just trying to be available to do whatever you can. You don't expect your elderly to come and put up a sukkah. But it sure be nice if they're there encouraging those who are putting it up. Get moved by the word of God. Let's quit talking about what we used to do and how it used to be. And let's figure out that God is trying to ignite us. He's trying to crush us. And he's trying to pierce us to get something done before it's over. Before it's too late. So he's telling us here in his word the importance of this being washed by the washing of the word. Very important. Because that deals with the immersion. And the immersion is what represents the circumcision of the heart that's done in the spirit. Now we know that if you did it in the flesh, you can't kid nobody. You're going to hear ow all through the room. Maybe you hear more than the ouch. Maybe it's ow! But you're going to be affected. Ishmael was 13 years old. How many fellas in here remember when you was 13? And his dad took the flint knife and said, come here, boy. He remembered that. Abraham was an old fella, and he experienced the same thing. And everybody in this house experienced the same thing. And we read in Joshua 5, if you went back and read through that, go read the whole thing, you'll see that it was necessary because they were entering the land. He said, listen, So you know that this is something that carries on. The only change we have in circumcision can never happen. So it was something had to be done until Yeshua came. Same thing like sacrificing animals. It had to be done until Yeshua came. And if you think circumcision is real today, then you have to, if you're undoing the circumcision plan that God has for you today, and you accept circumcision, you got to keep the whole of the Torah, meaning you have to do the sacrifice. You have to do all of that still. That's what y'all was talking about. You have to do it all. All of Torah, if you don't accept the circumcision in which God has made a change in the order. Still circumcision. He didn't change that you have to be circumcised. How you have that circumcision, he's changed. He took her from flesh to the free woman, to the spirit. That's why you can't walk after the flesh, you have to walk after the spirit. So there's no change in obligation. We're all obligated to it. So we have to understand that there's a law concerning Passover. No one can have Passover unless they've been circumcised. That law still stands today. Because you don't have to be physically circumcised, but you have to be spiritually circumcised. There's no getting around it. If you don't get spiritually circumcised and you think you can just come and just be a part of it, you can sit in church all year long, all your life, and all you've been was informed. That's it. You've been informed. You've never had the word of God preached where it come across to you, where it changed your life to move you to the next level that God wants you to be in. You're going to be moved. You're not going to have the same lifestyle. If you come into church and you still have the same lifestyle issues you've been having 5 years ago or 10 years ago, you need to be preached to because you haven't been moved from that spot. Same lifestyle issues. You got to change. Something's got to change with that. And so is Avram suffering from these lifestyle? He is. Would to God Ishmael going to be before you, y'all? He said, no. He stopped him. We're not having this discussion. But I'm not going to forget Ishmael. I'm a blessing. So he gives the blessing. He says, and as for Ishmael, I have heard you. See, I shall bless him and shall make him fruitful and greatly increase him. And it is to bring forth 12 princes, and I shall make him a great nation. So Ishmael represents the Arab world. And if you're not familiar with history, what I just said don't make a lick of sense to you. But the Arab world is where all the conflict's happening right now. The Yemens, that the United States at war with, right now as of 2 days ago, at war with, they're Arabs. Iran, Arabs. Iraq, Arabs. All Hezbollah, all of these are Arab. That's the Arab world. And that represents Ishmael, the Arab world. And Jehovah said, I'll bless them. And he has blessed them. They're a strong group of people. They have strong ideas, but they don't serve the true and living Elohim. Why? Because it's all about flesh. It's all about what I can obtain. And it used to be that they didn't have money to fund their ideas. They had great ambition, the Arab world. Great ambition, great ideas. Some of the greatest ideas the Arabs have is destroy all believers under Isaac. That we can only have all the believers under Ishmael. That's one of their ambitions. They didn't have the money to do it, but now they do. Just so to inform you, they have discovered that they have a large portion of all the oil reserves is right under the sand that they've been walking on with their camels all their life. And they're spending it like no tomorrow. If you've ever been to Saudi Arabia, has anybody ever been to Saudi Arabia? Me and Miss Charlotte? You fly into an airport that is ridiculous in size. We have nothing like it in the United States. Nothing. When we first flew into it, they were still under construction. It was so big, we had to be bussed from our plane that landed to a terminal, and it was for miles. Now, the second time we flew into Saudi Arabia, now there's buildings connecting that. Now you get out and you have to get on a trolley. The trolley has to bring you. And when you go into this airport, there's nothing like it in the United States. Now they have the money. They have money to get in these wars. Before, they didn't have no money. They had no money. Where that money's coming from? Saudi Arabia, Iran, all that money's coming, and they have tons of it. They have more, they have more money than we can even think about. Plenty money to fund this. That's why we try to control the oil prices in America so we can kind of reduce how much they're selling these barrels of oil for. But the funny thing about it is the United States is buying more oil from these countries now underneath this administration than we ever have in our lifetime. We're not getting our own oil. We stopped that. We don't want to take our own stuff. Let's just buy it. And so if you're buying it, that money is being funded into these outfits. And so here we have God's given his word showing us that Ishmael is not how it's going to happen. So don't get sidetracked by the amount of money these 12 princes accumulate because he said he would bless them. I mean, I'm sharing this with you to show you that the word of God has become full circle right in front of your face, and sometimes our hearts still, we just want information. Just get my head full of stuff. We're not being moved to get the job done. Sitting in this building, sitting right up here, the caliber of what God wants to use is not something that has to come. It's already among us. It's among us. It's sitting right here. The brilliance and brain and how to explain the word of God to touch the hearts of people is right here with us. We have sold ourselves short because we're still thinking he's going to bring it through Ishmael. It's not going to happen. You got to accept the reality and get your heart moved. You got to go from being informed to being moved and let whatever's been holding you back, whether your feet have been concreted to the floor, whether you think that I don't have what it takes, you need to get your heart pierced so you realize, or whether or not you just, you don't realize how much power you have. Somebody needs to light the dynamite that's in you to show you how explosive you are when you let God be God in you. And I pray that I can do that, that way you can realize that you have the potential to set this world on fire if you allow God to move through you. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Messiah, having been buried with him in immersion. You see that? Immersion. That's washed by the water of the word. Washing by the water of the word is so important. It's immersion. So we have the immersion, which is the physical side of what we have done spiritually inside by the washing of the water, by the word. Having been buried with him in immersion, in which you also were raised with him through the belief in the working of Elohim, who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of the flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having blotted out the certificate of debt against us. What we were indebted to? Transgression of the Torah. We were in debt to it. You couldn't get yourself out. Nothing could get you out. If you could circumcise the flesh, you still didn't get out. Now, one thing about the circumcision of the flesh under the Abrahamic covenant was you believed in that promise coming. You believed in what he promised Abraham would come. Because we still got to get the seed, which is Messiah. We still got to get the seed, which is Messiah. You believing in that. So you're testifying of your belief in it by circumcising the flesh. Because the flesh is your biggest enemy. The flesh is what's holding you back. Our flesh, we start thinking in the flesh, and the song gets to be playing, and God says, I want you to move. I want you to pick up one foot at a time, and I want you to get a breakthrough today. Today's your breakthrough. We won't move. I mean, we're not doing it because the flesh got involved. We say, well, somebody's going to think I'm crazy. Sometimes your situations need you to get a little crazy. You got to get a little beside yourself and say, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm going to let God be God in my life. I'm not going to live in some stagnant situation. I'm going to stand up for what I know the word of God says, and that's that. And so you get to moving. That's what Avram was told constantly, Lake Laka, it's time for you to move. You got to get to moving. And so we see this happening, and you being dead in your trespass and uncircumcision of your flesh has been made alive together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, having blotted out the certificate of debt against us by dogmas, these traditions of men, which stood against us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the stake. So we see these wonderful principles laid out for us. Valuable that we understand this. So if you have your Bibles, go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, it says, for the rest, my brother, rejoice in Jehovah. Verse 1. For the rest, my brother, rejoice in Jehovah. To write the same matter to you is truly no trouble to me. And for you, it is safe. Look out for dogs. Look out for the evil workers. Look out for the mutilation. Now that term there is not the same word used for circumcision, but it means circumcision. The other word could be used as concision. Concision. Look up that word in the Greek, you'll see what I'm talking about. But it means mutilation, because this is how he's referring to it. It's being cut for nothing. That's mutilation. Being cut makes no sense. Mutilation. You doing that makes no sense at all. He's calling it mutilation. We have to understand how he's addressing this. Now, because he's so, you have to understand, this dogma was so entrenched since the time of Abraham, there is no possible way you can come to the faith outside of being circumcised in the flesh. And so he says a different story about it, and he's up against it because he has, now here's a guy who was circumcised on the eighth day, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee of all Pharisees, but circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. This is the guy speaking, Shaul. So if anybody was qualified to talk what he was talking about, he himself was. He wasn't projecting his circumcision as a means to lord it over the people. He was saying, this is what Jehovah is doing now. He was preaching, and what's happening? The hammer came out, and they didn't like it. He ignited the people in such a way that it changed their lives. It's sort of what happened when Peter was sent down and Kepha was sent down to Cornelius' house. Now, Cornelius is a Greek. He's Gentile. He's uncircumcised. And Peter was taken by surprise by all this, so God had to show him a vision of the sheet on the roof about these unclean animals. Now, he's using unclean animals. The whole vision is not about food. People want to make it about food because they want to justify their behavior. They can eat whatever they want. It's not what his intentions is. And so if we read it in context, the whole meaning is using animals figuratively to represent people. And those people, because from a Jew's perspective, were unclean because they were what? Uncircumcised. They were uncircumcised. Therefore, they were unclean by fact of the covenant made to Abraham. Now, were they being untruthful? No, that's a fact. They were not part of that covenant. Because of uncircumcision. Nor could they take Pesach. Because there's a law in Pesach. Unless you're circumcised, you can't participate. Yet God is shifting. Everybody say shifting. He's shifting, not changing, but shifting how it applies to people. Because he's out to save the whole world, not some of the world. I mean, understand that. And you ought to be thankful for that, because you and I was part of some of the world. We were part of that part that was seemed to be forgotten. There was no hope for you. The enemy's job is to crush your ambition. It's to crush your dreams and your visions. to never let you see what God sees about you. Make you think all you're ever going to do is work nets. Fish. That's all you're ever good for. You don't have enough education to even preach the gospel. Well, I can tell you, I can prove that to be wrong. I can prove that to be wrong because if you let God do what he wants to do in you, he'll move you from a place of information and bring you to a place where your dreams are ignited. He'll bring you to a place where you see what's happening in your life. You don't have some just casual relationship with God anymore. It's intimately moving inside of your heart and you feel it on the inside of you and you want change. But unless there's immersion, you haven't experienced circumcision of the heart. It's not, you don't get options here. These are not options if you want to. This God's not giving us a list of ideas where you can just pick and choose if you how you feel if you want to do it. Unless there's immersion, washed by the washing of the word, there is no circumcision of the heart. You have to identify with something. You have to identify. When you get immersed in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, you identify with his belief system and what he preaches and how he testifies. You identify with that. And you're not afraid to tell the whole world that. Now, you got to be ready for the conflict that comes with it, because it comes with conflict. It comes with adversarial attacks. That's what happens. That's normal. It's not something that, well, I want you to understand that to begin with. That's a normal thing that happens. The moment you sign up to say, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to do what Yeshua HaMashiach tells me to do, get ready, the attack's coming. But you'll have the power, you'll have the freedom in God's word to handle every attack that comes your way. You'll be able to handle it. And it's not going to be how you think you want to handle it, because sometimes we sit down and think we're an MMA fighter or something. And we're thinking, man, you know, we contemplate knocking people out in our mind. They come get in my face, I'm going to show them. But that's not the way to handle it. Now, you got to be willing to take the lick. It's just what it is. But let me tell you, God, when he does what he's going to do, is so much more superior than what you could have done if you could have been locked in a room for 3 hours with a person. You let God fight your battles. You let God win the war for you. But you have to stand. You have to move from a place of being informed to a place where you've been ignited, or whatever's holding you back is being gotten rid of by the preaching of the word, because that's what it does. It's an automatic thing. And so in this Philippians account, we see this. Look out for dogs. Look out for the evil workers. Look out for the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who are serving Elohim in spirit, boasting in Messiah Yeshua, do not trust in the flesh. Is he not talking about this? What I'm trying to tell you. Is he not explaining it? Clearly explaining it. We still having a flesh issue. Would to God you use this meal? Lord, just use this meal. No. Quit selling yourself short. But I don't have a kid. I know, but you're going to have one. You've been telling me that for 25 years. He's still saying it. Sometimes patience is not a virtue that we possess. But it's a virtue that God requires of us. Waiting for something to happen is very difficult, because somehow we think we can insert ourselves and make it speed up. Every time that I've ever tried that, it turns out bad. And at some point, we got to get a hold to it that he don't need our assistance. He needs our obedience. What are you going to assist him with when he is El Shaddai? When he is El Shaddai, what are you going to assist him with? What he wants you to do is just obey. Obey what he says, and he's going to put you in the right position to bring about everything he's promised. Now, he's promised a lot. But we're dealing with spirit and flesh. How many see that? And we have circumcision, spirit, and flesh all in the same verse. That ought to tell me something. Let me read it again to you. For we are the circumcision who are serving Elohim in the spirit. We are the circumcision in the spirit. We are the circumcision. It's not that he's eliminated circumcision. He's never eliminated, but how it's proceeded and how it's initiated is changed. Why? Because there was only one qualified who can literally physically be circumcised, who can then walk through the pieces that were divided to bring about the covenant of Abraham that allows you and I to be grafted in. If we eliminate all this, you don't get grafted in at all. We don't get grafted in. We're not part of Israel. Thank God we've been qualified. Are we qualified by our own doing? No. You don't get qualified. All you can be is informed, and from the informed, you get preached to. And I can tell you, to get from there to here, you got to break some stones. You have to. You're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. I thank God these fellas jumped up pretty quick and made their minds up. I don't want to just be informed. I want to be changed. I want to be changed forever. I want the word of God to pierce me. I want it to ignite me. I want it to crush me. I want to be changed, because the power that comes with that, it's you can't describe it. You can't add a monetary amount to it. It's more than you can imagine that comes with that. The peace that passes all understanding keeps your heart and mind through Christ. It's absolutely amazing. So notice in verse 3, we are the circumcision who are serving Elohim in spirit and boasting in Messiah Yeshua. Do not trust in the flesh. He says, do not trust in the flesh. What are you telling Abram? Do not trust in the flesh. I'm trying to get you to understand, I'm not using Ishmael. And there's a reason. It's not like he didn't hate Ishmael. But Ishmael came about through flesh. And God couldn't disqualify him. Any seed that came through Ishmael is all flesh. Just like we come through our parents, all flesh. We all have to go through, we have to be washed with the immersion. That's why, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's what Nicodemus asked. He was the most learned of the time, because he didn't understand this concept. But what's happening here? What's happening is we have to, so what happens when the baby's born? The baby then gets encapsulated in this sack. And what's in the sack? The water. And so Yeshua's talking about there has to be a water birthing for you to be born again. So Nicodemus, in his mind, the only way that can happen, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, no, that doesn't make, you can't do that. You're a grown man. But in the spirit realm, you have to be immersed in the name of Yeshua, washed by the washing of the word. Circumcision of the heart is an automatic thing that happens. Does that make sense? I want you to understand circumcision, because every time you read Shaul, I don't want you to constantly get confused. And you're going to do that as long as you've been informed. You're just getting information. But when you get moved by the set apart spirit through the word of God that's preached and it affects you, you never have that confusion ever again. You get liberated from that confusion. Though I too might have trusted in the flesh, if anyone else think to trust in the flesh, I more. No, what does he say? Shaul said, ain't nobody have more problems with the flesh than I did. Why was he saying that? You know why? Look who he was. He was trained under Gamaliel. He was one of the most well-versed students of Scripture in the Torah. Then nobody was more trained than Shaul of his time. And yet he says, nobody has operated in the flesh more than I. I'm struggling with this. He tells us he struggled with it. But he understood when the word got preached, it ignited him to do something. Changed him. What happened? He's on his way to Damascus to get Christians again, lock them up. He took pleasure in locking Christians up. He hated them. He despised them. But on his way to Damascus, a light shone. And when the light shone, it knocked him off of his ride. And there he was. And he says, Shaul, Shaul, how long will you kick against the pricks? The pricks is that which is pointy. Don't you know you just keep injuring yourself? How many know you don't go kick a thorn bush? The thorns are going to win. Just so you know, let me inform you. The thorns are going to win. Now, if I move your heart where you don't want to kick the thorns no more and get you over here, I've done something for you. That's what preaching does. It moves you from kicking thorns all your life, because you know you're going to get injured. You go kick it. Find you the nicest. You know they got these trees. They got these thorns sticking out of them like that. Sometimes you'll find them. I've seen them. Down here we have these, thorns sticking out of them like that. And so they say, well, the Indians used to use them. If you take a piece off and you put it in your mouth, it deadens your mouth. It's like a deadening thing. Well, you go in and kick one of them, you'll figure it out quick. And that's what he's telling Shaul. He said, how long are you going to kick against the pricks? You're just injuring yourself. You want to keep fighting me? You don't win, Shaul. You don't win this, Shaul. Are you understanding? What is he telling me? No flesh. No flesh. And he's telling us, he said, I'm struggling with this more than everybody. He said, though I too might have trusted in the flesh, if anyone else think to trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcision, circumcised the eighth day of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews according to the Torah of the Pharisees. This is what he's saying. So, man, I got to speed up. Sometimes I forget my place, where I'm at. When I'm preaching, I forget that I got to still read. Let me go back to the text and finish reading this up for you. As for Ishmael, he said, I'm going to bless him. Verse 21, but my covenant I established with Yitzhak, whom Sarah is to bear, to you at an appointed time next year. And I named him before she's even pregnant. She's going to bear him. Now, after this encounter, she becomes pregnant. At the time, immediately when this happens, she becomes pregnant. Now, her pregnancy wasn't without the assistance of Abram. Now, there was some time. They went to the tent and they took care of business, and she becomes pregnant. Does that help you? And when he had ended speaking with him, Elohim went up from Abraham. When he ended speaking with him, he went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house, and all those bought with his silver, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin the same day as Elohim told him. And Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. 99. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Now, if circumcision of the flesh changes you, how is it Ishmael never changed? What's the one thing Ishmael didn't do that Abram did? He believed Yehovah, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed him. Ishmael, we know as it goes on, he got so involved in taking care of business, he became an archer. And he was a man of the field. That don't represent relationship with Yehovah. A man of the tent represents the relationship. So we know what he did. He made his choice. There was the road set before him. He had to pick, and he picked to go the opposite way, and that's what he did. He married an Egyptian woman. That didn't help him. But let's not kid ourselves. His mother was Egyptian. So she found him an Egyptian of our own people. It's no more than right. That's fine. But he married, and he went down the path he went down. And it was not toward Elohim. It was away from him. And there was a consequence for that. But God had to stick with the plan he had, that he had his guy, and his guy was going to be Yitzhak, that was going to be born according as he had promised. And Abram and his son Ishmael were circumcised that same day, and all the men of the house born in the house or bought with silver from the foreigner were circumcised with him. And so that finishes up chapter 17. Now, I'm not finished by no means. I want to go to Ephesians 2 and read to you something that's very important in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Says, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh. That's what we got to remember, who we were. Once Gentiles in flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. At that time you were without Messiah, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no expectation and without Elohim in the world, but now, everybody say, but now. In Messiah Yeshua, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah, for he is our peace, who has made both one, having broken down the partitions of barriers. He broke down the partitions of barriers, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the Torah of the commands and dogmas. The Torah of commands and dogmas. Those are added laws so as to create in himself one renewed man from the two, thus making peace. and to completely restore to favor both of them unto Elohim in one body through the stake, having destroyed the enmity by it. And having come, he brought as good news peace to you who were far off, peace to those near, because through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the set apart ones and members of the household of Elohim. How incredible is that? So when you read that account in Ephesians, it talks about walls and barriers that had to be broken down. Walls and barriers had separated people from understanding what Yehovah had done for them. And sometimes what breaks down, puts up walls and barriers, is information. We get what's called an information overload. We hadn't moved with the information we've gotten. We hadn't done anything with it. And so we just kept being compiling information on top of information, but we're not moving to do anything with it. The information is given for a reason. It's to move us. That's the difference between teaching and preaching. So next time you get a chance, just ask God. If you never felt like you ever got into preaching, just ask God, Lord, allow your set-apart spirit to anoint me so I can do this little preaching. You might go back and forth. You might go from teaching to preaching. You're going to be informative, but you got to be moving. It's got to be moving. And the Word of God is effective to do that. So if you're preaching His Word, wouldn't it be sensible to think somebody's going to be crushed? Something's going to be broken off of somebody? Wouldn't it be sensible if you're preaching the Word of God that somebody's going to be ignited? Wouldn't it be sensible to think that if you're preaching the Word of God, that somebody is going to be pierced? This is important to our life, valuable to us. And I pray that these fellas understand the importance of them moving from an information stage to a place where they can allow a set-apart spirit to come and minister to their life to bring about change in them. Because that's the only way change comes. You have to get up and do something about it. You have to obey God. And that's what Avram had to do. He suffered with this, and even Shaul suffered with it. He says, nobody goes back to more in the flesh than I do. He said, I'm suffering, and you get plagued by it. Sometimes you get to beating yourself up about it. You get so frustrated that you have one of them weeks where you got in the flesh two or three times and you don't know what to do about it. I hope that this has helped you. That's what happens. You're dealing with it. But you're going to get better at it as long as you're dealing with it. You're going to get better and better and better because you're not going to allow it to dictate how you live your life. You're going to see that God has a better plan for you than the one you can plan for yourself. It's better. And so Avram still at that point in his life, you would think by now he's figured this out. But at that point, he still says to God, would to God Ishmael can live before you. God didn't take kindly to that. He said, no. Simple as that, no. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And so God doesn't need us to kind of write our favorite life that we want to live and hand it to him and say, God, can you do this? That's what most people pray about. They write their own life, put it in prayer, kind of wording, and hand it to God and say, God, this is what I need. I see my life to just walk in complete healing. You don't think Shaul wanted that, to be completely healed? He saw this three times, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. If I thought you couldn't make it with what you got going on, I'd have fixed it 3 days ago. But I decided you can, and you got to realize that you got to put your faith and trust in me. Why? Because he had this flesh issue back and forth. He had it, and God was getting him to realize. So listen, God don't necessarily come and heal all sickness and all disease. Some of it, he'll let you live with it for the rest of your life, and you still live a long life. That's what happened to Shaul. He never fixed his problems. Most scholars think he had a problem with his eyes. That's why he said, you love me so much, if I asked you for your eyes, you'd have plucked your own eyes out and gave them to me. And now you're offended because I'm telling you what you're doing is sin? That's what Shaul said. He said, you'd have gave your own eyes to me. So they say, because of that, he was having issues with his eyes. So think about it. Could God heal him? Absolutely. How many times you sure heal blind people? He could have healed Shaul, but he chose not to simply tell him, my grace is sufficient for you. You're going to live as long as you're going to live with the eye condition or without the eye condition, you're going to do it. But he used that in Shaul's life to keep him in a position where he can speak into his life. So you can receive your healing in many different ways. To Shaul, he was healed. He never had the full manifestation of that healing, but he lived as long as he was going to live, with sight or without sight. He still was doing what God wanted him to do. Never affected him getting the job done. So I pray that this is ministered to your life. I appreciate the guys for always offering up their ability to come, and they've been up here the whole time, the whole service. Guess who else has been up here with you? So I appreciate them for participating with me. Now y'all can go back to y'all seats. And some of you might want to bring a ham and a sword with you when you go.
Can we bring this? Yeah. I
want to bring this. Appreciate it, guys. Thank y'all.